Bibles to John chapter 13. I'd like to remind you too, our offering plates are in back where they usually are. And also a reminder, we still have a building fund. We encourage you to give as the Lord provides and leads to our remodeling fund to remodel the west side, which will begin before long. We're looking at John chapter 13, and I'd like to begin with verse 35. We've looked at a lot of areas here in this 12th chapter. Last week we looked at verse 32 and the surrounding verses. If I be lifted from the earth, will draw men unto me. Several weeks before today, we looked at John 12. Well, sir, we would see Jesus. And then before that, the triumphal entry. Before that, the anointing by Mary, where she poured the expensive spikenard at the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. So we've covered a lot already. And now we see the light, that Jesus is the light come into the world. Verse 35 of John 12. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while, and the light is with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believe not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, when he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe. Notice in verse 37, they would not believe. They believed not on him. And here in verse 39, they could not believe. And then verse 40, they should not believe. He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart. So they would not, they could not, and they should not. And be converted, and I should heal them. Verse 41, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, verse 44, he that believes on me believes not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Let's pray together. When you stand, just stretch out a little, have you stand as we continue on, as we open in prayer. Lord, we are a needy people. We need your grace continually. There's not a moment that we can go without your grace and love and sustaining power. Help us, O Lord. We are so needy, we are so sinful, and we're so dependent on you, Lord. And may we cry out to you continually, and may we trust you with all of our heart. I pray, Lord, for any here this morning who are not sure of their salvation, they're not sure that if they were to die today, they would have a home in heaven. May they make sure, Lord, give their life to you. Thank you for being our light in the midst of this darkness. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and dying on the cross for our sins. Bless as we continue. Help me as I preach. Help us all as we listen to hear your voice this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and thank you. We're looking at this passage, John 12, verse 20 to 50, with this outline in mind. Remember, just two main points. The Gentiles come seeking the truth. And number two, the Jews leave rejecting the truth. So the Gentiles and the Greeks come seeking the truth, verse 20 to 37. And the Jews leave rejecting the truth, verses 37 to 50. In verse 21, when the Gentiles come seeking the truth, they came and they said, sir, we would see Jesus. And they came with a desire to see Jesus and to know Jesus and to understand who he is. They want answers. They've heard about Jesus, but they wanted to know more about him. He is the Savior of the world, not just Israel. He is the Lamb of God who died for the sins of the whole world. He died for all. He is the light of the world. He came to redeem all mankind, including the pagan Greeks. So they come seeking him. Have you come seeking him? Are you a seeker? We used to be part of an adult Sunday school class when we lived in South Carolina, and we called it the Seekers Sunday School class. We were the seekers. We were really kind of the young marriage group, but we supposedly were seeking after the Lord. And so they came seeking him. Sir, we would desire, we want to see Jesus. So they came seeking the truth, but the Jews leave rejecting the truth. Verse 37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. And also verse 40, which we won't read. Jesus said, I'm come a light into the world in verse 46, and yet we see they reject that light that is given to them. They just reject it. We don't want it. And God said, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you, verse 35. Verse 37, yet they believe not on him. He hath blinded their eyes, verse 40. He said in verse 36, while you have the light, believe in the light. To believe in Jesus Christ is to believe in the light. I don't know about you, but I like light. I don't like darkness. Well, I like it when I'm going to sleep, but when I'm doing something and I'm up, I want light. I turn the light on, or I hope for the sunrise. It's to believe in the light, and you will have the light if you simply believe in the light. Only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. If one chooses not to believe, what's he choosing? He's choosing darkness. He is choosing to live in darkness. And he can plan on God blinding his eyes and hardening his heart. And you don't want to go down that road to where God blinds your eyes and God hardens your heart. Verse 40. John is quoting from Isaiah 6, 9 and 10 in verse 40. And in verses 37 to 47, the word believe is used many times. In fact, around 8 times we find that word believe. And we see verse 37, 38, they would not believe. Verse 39, they could not believe. Verse 40 and 41, they should not believe. How critical it is that you and I believe in Jesus Christ, that you believe in the light, and that you not live or walk in darkness, in sin, in disobedience. It's hypocrisy to believe, say you believe in the light and walk in darkness. Doesn't work. It does not work. One or the other is going to take place. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you, verse 35. In other words, live now, live today in the light that God has given you. If you choose your own way, then you reject the light of Christ, and what are you left with? Reject the light, you're left with darkness. It's not a pleasant thing to live your life in darkness. Many do. Millions upon millions upon hundreds of millions are living in darkness across this world today. But God is very, very gracious and long-suffering and full of compassion. He is slow to anger. Though he would be righteous, though he would be just to be angry at the sin of the world today, he is long-suffering. Verse 8, Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. That's our God. That's our God. My patience wears out. My grace only goes so far. But God has plenty. It's eternal. One theologian writing in the early 1900s said this. How wondrous is God's patience with the world today. Talk about the world in the early 1900s. That world that now we think of was probably pretty Christian and pretty good and pretty righteous. He said, how wondrous is God's patience in the world today. On every side, people are sinning with a high hand. The divine law is trampled underfoot, and God himself openly despised. It is truly amazing that he does not instantly strike dead those who so brazenly defy him. Why does he not suddenly cut off the haughty infidel and the blatant blasphemer as he did Ananias and Sapphira? Why does he not cause the earth to open its mouth and devour the persecutors of his people so that like Dathan and Abiram, they shall go down into the pit? And one of apostate Christendom, where every possible form of sin is now tolerated and practiced. This is the early 1900s. What would he say today? But every kind of sin is tolerated and practiced under cover of the holy name of Christ. Why does not the righteous wrath of heaven make an end of such abominations? Only one answer is possible. Because God bears much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted or prepared for destruction. Romans 9:22. God is patient. I'm so glad. He should have sent me to hell long ago, but he saved me at the ripe old age of 22. But I was headed for hell. I was headed for hell, and God was long-suffering. We see clearly the patient forbearance and long-suffering of God in the days of Noah. Before his judgment in the flood, we read in Genesis 6:5, and God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It was just a continuing flow of evil. The human race had become so evil that it repented the Lord that he had made it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. Genesis 6:6. And in verse 7, he said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. It's almost as though God said, I'm sorry I made man. I regret it. And yet it was in his perfect plan. But God delayed his judgment. He said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for then also he is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Genesis 6:3. That was a period when, according to 1 Peter 3:20, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. God saved Noah. He was called a preacher of righteousness in 2 Peter 2:5. And I believe Noah preached repentance and judgment. And he preached for 120 years, we believe, according to Scripture. God was long-suffering in the days of Noah. He's long-suffering in our day. Our day. We wonder, why is the United States of America still here? I don't know. God's patience, God's long-suffering. We don't deserve. I don't deserve to be alive, but God is long-suffering. God is very, very, very long-suffering, patient, compassionate. And the nation of Israel experienced that. This nation has experienced that. The United States of America has experienced it. We know one day his patience will end. One day it's coming to an end. But now is the day to repent, for God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we wonder, why hasn't God yet destroyed America? Maybe because not everyone that he is calling has come. He's not willing that any should perish. And he waits. He waits. God's patience with sinners, though, will finally run out. It will finally run out. We read in 2 Chronicles 36:15, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and all his dwelling place. So God sent prophets to the apostate nation of Israel. But they mocked the messengers of God, and they despised their words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Finally, his judgment came upon Judah, then upon Israel. Stephen Charnock, an English Puritan, wrote these sobering words a few centuries ago, back in the 1600s. He said, "The time of God's patience will have an end. Though he be patient with most, yet he is not in the same degree with all. Every sinner has his time of sinning. You have your time of sinning," implying that it doesn't go forever, "beyond which he shall proceed no further. And for particular persons, the time of life, whether shorter or longer, is the only time of long suffering. The time of patience ends with the first moment of the soul's departure from the body. This present time only is a day of salvation. You only have now to repent. You only have now to make things right with God. And that time will come to an end one day." The Bible is telling us here that when a person resists the light and continues to walk in darkness, when they hear the truth but shove the truth away and they want to walk in unbelief, they will come to a place where they can't believe. We have this idea, well, someday I'll make things right. Someday I'll quit living in this sin. I know God will forgive me. God's patient, but someday his patience will run out. And none of us know when that will come. When they walk in unbelief, they'll come to a place where they cannot believe. They close their ears. They harden their heart. They could not, then they would not, then they could not, and then they should not believe. Theologically, that's called judicial blindness. We're talking about judicial blindness. We see that back in Exodus with Pharaoh, who would not let the people of Israel go into the wilderness to worship God. And Pharaoh hardened his heart some 20 times. 10 times Pharaoh hardened his own heart, and 10 times God hardened his heart. And he experienced judicial blindness. The judgment of blindness by God. Someone hears the truth and they say, "Not now, another day, tomorrow." When Roberta and I got saved, we told my brother-in-law and sister, "We'll get saved tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow. It's late. We need to go to bed." It was about 12:30, 1 in the morning. They didn't hear none of it. "No, now. You need to get saved now." So we finally got saved now. And tomorrow might not have ever have come. You see, another day. We say, "Not now, another day." They're not interested. They don't want to submit to God today, because that's a scary thought, to give your life to God, to die to self and be alive to Christ. The Bible teaches it. God will say, "I gave you the chance to believe, to come to the light, and you chose darkness over light." Well, the Gentiles come seeking the truth. We read verse 35, "And then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be children of light." We see here he gives them the last chance to believe. The last chance to believe, letter A, we might say. The last chance. This was their last chance. Walk while you have the light. Do you have the light today? You sure do. You're getting it right now, aren't you not? It's in God's Word. It's being preached. So now, walk in the truth while you can. Live for Jesus while you can. Live for Jesus now, because tomorrow is coming, when there will be no more opportunity. It's coming, friends. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to lay up treasure in heaven, because we know tomorrow never comes. I worry about things. And there are always things that are going to happen tomorrow. And when tomorrow comes, they don't happen. You see, it's all a big waste of time. But I need to live for Jesus today. Because when I say, well, tomorrow, another day, it won't come. It won't come. Yet a little while is a light with you. A little while, the Lord says. Not a long while. He didn't say, well, the light's going to be with you for a long time. And you'll always have an opportunity. No, no. James says, go to now, James 4, 13 and 14. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and buy and sell and get gain. You know, tomorrow, we can take care of things tomorrow. And then God says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor, a puff of steam that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You only have a little while, friend. We just have a minuscule of time. Not very much. An inch, half an inch, quarter of an inch, eighth of an inch, 16th, 1/32nd, 1/64th of an inch. I can't go beyond that. That's because, well, we don't have much time, do we? You know, 50 years, 10 years, 1 year, 1 month, 1 week, 1 day, 1 hour, 1 minute? We don't know. The Jewish leaders continually discounted Jesus' claims to be the Messiah, to be God in the flesh. He is warning them that their opportunity to acknowledge him as Savior was fast disappearing. That's what Jesus is trying to tell them, and it applies to you and me. Yet a little while is the light with you, he said. He is the light of the world. He is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God shining in the darkness, 2 Corinthians 4:6. Soon he would be gone, and the people to whom he came would be plunged into darkness. And they were. And some of these people were the ones who would yell, crucify him, crucify him. Just a little while. Just a little while. That's all we have. You and I don't have very long, and Christ often used this phrase to emphasize the shortness of his time with them, the shortness of their opportunity, and thus our opportunity, to give themselves to him. In John 7, you can turn there if you're in John. John 7. Yet a little while I am with you, then I go unto him that sent me. Just a little while. In John 13, 33, Jesus told his disciples in the upper room the night before his crucifixion, little children, yet a little while. There it is again. A little while I am with you, and ye shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you. And then John 16, verse 16, John 16, verse 16, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this? And he says to us, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. And they said, therefore, what is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. I mean, they thought he was their Messiah and was going to set up his kingdom and he would not die. But he was trying to tell them he was going to go to the cross and suffer and die and then be raised. So they just had a little while. The Lord knew that the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6:2, was quickly disappearing and darkness was fast approaching, and those who failed to come to the light would lose it. And so in verse 35 of John 12, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not whither he goeth. You know, during the time of Jesus, the disciples, there were no street lights. That's hard to imagine. No headlights, no electric lights, and oil lamps, candles. So people normally only travel during the daylight hours when they can see and walk safely. And the Lord likened those who failed to heed his warning to travelers who were caught after nightfall, lost in the pitch blackness of a pitch black night. And the only way for them to avoid being lost in spiritual darkness was while they still had the light to believe in the light, while it was day. And the wonderful promise to those who do it, is that they will become sons of light, and they will radiate the light of God's glory in Christ into a dark world, like you and I can do today. We are luminaries. We are reflecting the Lord's light. We can radiate the light. Moses came down from the mount with the tables of stone, the Ten Commandments, and his face shone. There was a glow in his face. Now is when we walk in the light. The night is coming. The time is short. God's long suffering and patience will end. His wrath, his judgment is coming. Are we ready? Are we ready? Hebrews 10, 26 and 27, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. There's a fearful looking coming. Those who reject Christ and who never receive him as their Savior, they are going to face God's vengeance and wrath and judgment and eternal punishment in the lake of fire. I hope that doesn't include you. The light is with you for a little while. Young people, you think, I've got my whole life ahead of me. Your whole life may last about 1 week. We don't know. We don't know. But now is the time. Walk in the light now. Now is the time to commit your life to him. Now is when to live for him and give him your all. And some of us know him, but we're not living for him. We're not sold out to him. We're not zealous for him. Committed to him. Now, while you have the light, tomorrow is always too late. This is the last chance to believe. There's a town called Last Chance in eastern Colorado. Roberta and I used to go through when we drive to Colorado from Nebraska on Highway 34, was it, or 36? Well, anyway, that highway in northern Kansas. And we'd always get gas at Last Chance because it was the last chance to gas up. Because you go about another 100 miles before you came to the next town, it seemed. Now's the last chance to believe. They will be a city set on a hill, a light shining in darkness, not put under a bushel, and that's what we can be. It's the last chance to believe, and letter B, if you're keeping track, the reason for their unbelief. The Gentiles come seeking the truth, the Jews leave rejecting the truth. But we see, I'm getting all mixed up. Last chance to believe, but the reason for their unbelief. Verse 37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. The saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled when she spake, Lord, who has believed our report, whom of the armed men revealed? And therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said, he blinded their eyes, hardened their heart, and they should not see with their eyes or understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. Okay, again, verse 42 then goes on to say, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. There were those there who would not openly confess Christ. They were scared. What an indictment. They didn't want to be openly identified with Jesus Christ. Their fear of man was greater than their fear of God. But I have to ask, are we any better? All of us have struggled with that, have we not? The fear of man. what will they think if I speak up? Maybe there were times I didn't speak up for God because I was intimidated by people and circumstances. That ever happened to you? Yep, I'll raise my hand. It sure has, way too often. Intimidated by people and unwilling to speak out for Christ. I need to overcome that. Simply obey God, who clearly tells me to go into all the world. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We need a holy boldness like the apostles had. And it didn't come naturally for them. They grew into it. These men who would not confess him, they needed boldness. They were intimidated by the Pharisees and they loved the praise of men more. And the Pharisees did not confess him. What about you and me? We need boldness, we need strength and grace to take the opportunity to speak up. We speak up about everything else. We talk about our jobs. We talk about our school. We talk about our family. We talk about the Chiefs. How about them Chiefs, right? Been the talk in the week or 2 weeks, right? We're glad to talk about that, but the Lord? Well, you know, it's the Chiefs after all. Mahomes, how can you not talk about him? Jesus Christ, how can you not talk about him, right? We need boldness. That's what people need to hear. You know, you think about it. Sports, all that, it's fun. There's a lot of good in it, but it's not eternal. It's not life-changing. Christ is. So we need boldness and strength and grace and then take the opportunity to speak up. But I worry about what my friends will say about me if I'm too outspoken for Christ. They'll think I'm an oddball. Yeah? And just wanting to stir things up, not get along with the family and friends. Well, here they go again. We knew they would start talking about their Jesus again. Well, that's fine. Let them say that. Where's our zeal for Christ, our passion, our love for him above all other loves? And I'm talking to myself too. I know how hard it is around family. I have been intimidated. Well, we walk in the light. God sent his son, and that's what the Gospel of John is all about. To save sinners, to see the son is to see the father. Jesus being the light of the world, his words, the very words of God. He was accused of blasphemy, and he needed to be stoned for that. And yet his words bring salvation. Verse 37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. It's simply unbelievable that they were unbelieving. The Messiah, the miracle worker, God in a human body, was among them. He lived with them. He ate with them. He slept with them. He healed with them, performing miracle after miracle, and yet they would refuse to believe. How could they miss the obvious that the one who was indeed the promised one, the Messiah, was among them? His performance of miracle after miracle after miracle did not convince them, for they hardened their hearts against the truth, against the obvious. In fact, they would attribute that power to Satan, and that shows the depth of their depravity. But look at us. We have Jesus dwelling within us. We have the completed revelation of God in the Bible that the apostles did not have. And yet we don't confess him. Salvation requires a work of the Holy Spirit, and that work was missing, for they were not believing. And yet they could believe if they but would believe. But verse 38, the saying of Isaiah the prophet, be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who has believed our report, to whom have the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because in Isaiah said, he, God, has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. It had been foretold hundreds and hundreds of years before that they would not believe. And they would not believe because God blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. They blinded their eyes, so then God finished it off. And he blinded their eyes that they should not see or understand and be converted and be healed. It became too late because they would not believe. God blinded their heart that they could not believe if they wanted to. And Israel's rejection of Christ was a part of God's sovereign plan as prophesied in Isaiah 53, verse 1, and Isaiah 6, verse 10. But the good news is, amazingly, their rejection brought about a blessing for you and me, that through their fall, salvation has now come to the Gentiles, as is taught in Romans 11, verse 11. But there comes a time in a person's life that he becomes blinded to the truth. You see, when one could believe and he refuses to believe, then will come the time when he cannot believe. And that time can come in your life. God will at some point reject the one that continually rejects him. So don't reject him. Do not reject him. The invitation all through Scripture is an invitation to come. 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 The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him as athirst come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Jesus said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Search the Scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that you might have life. John 5, verse 40. But there will come a day when God will say, you will not come. He came, verse 47, he came to save sinners, to save the world. And unbelievers will be judged by his words, verse 48. And every unbeliever has probably heard the word of God or some aspect of the truth of God, and that word will be used against them in trial at the judgment of God, and they will be condemned. Well, I close with a few questions. Are you more like the Greeks or Jews in this story? Are you more like those, the Gentiles, who came seeking the truth, or the Jews who were rejecting the truth? That's a dangerous way to live, to reject, even as believers, to reject anything God tells us to do. Are you pursuing Jesus for more truth, or ignoring the truth you already have? What describes you? Secondly, have you surrendered your life? Have you died to self? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? If not, today you need to do that. Take care of that today. Do you want to bear eternal fruit? Thirdly, are you on the precipice of judicial blindness? Are you on the cliff of judicial blindness? God is long-suffering, but he grows weary. Don't allow this to happen by saying no to Jesus Christ over and over again. There'll come a time when you no longer can say yes. Now is the time to say yes. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the warning. Thank you for the encouragement, the reminder that you are patient, long-suffering, you are merciful, compassionate, kind, and loving. You gave your Son to die on the cross for us, and you invite any and all to come if we will but come. You make it easy. You say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the simple plan of salvation, which requires no effort on our part, no works, no trying to do good to get into heaven, but simply believing. By faith we believe. By grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to give ourselves to you. May we do that this morning. even before we leave, and even as we close, may we give ourselves to you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.